Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Anybody got a made up mind today to serve the Lord? For the rest of my life, I've decided I will serve Him. Hallelujah. Here we go. All of my life.
All of my life, I've never known you to fail.
You remain the same.
You remain the same, and wonderful is your name.
Let's say it again. Come on, everybody, let's say, you woke me up this morning. Is there a witness today? Did he put food on the table? Brought joy. Say, I'm glad. And wonderful.
Wonderful.
Let's say that again, everybody. You woke me up.
You woke me up this morning.
Shouted me
on my way.
Put food on the table.
Food on my table.
Then you brought joy. And I'm glad.
And wonderful.
Wonderful. Say, started me.
Started me on my way.
Did he put food on the table?
Food on my table.
And it brought joy.
Brought joy to my day.
And I'm glad.
God, love has never changed.
And wonderful.
And wonderful.
Wonderful.
And wonderful. And wonderful. Wonderful is your name.
Now it's all right to clap your hands right here. Let's make some noise. Here we go. For the rest of my life. Say, I'll serve him. For the rest. See, you got to decide that for yourself. Say, for the rest of
my life.
Make a declaration. I will. I got a made up mind. Somebody ought to help me say, for the rest of. Your hands, everybody. Want y'all play it a little bit right here. Holla! that I'll serve the Lord, everybody, for the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
I'll serve him.
I'll serve him.
I got a made up man. I got a made up man. I'll serve the Lord.
For the rest of my life.
I will.
I'll serve him.
For the rest.
For the rest of my life.
Come on, let's say it together. You woke me up.
You woke me up this morning.
And you started
me. Started me on my way.
You put food on the table.
Food on my table.
And you brought joy
to my day.
And I'm glad.
I'm glad, yeah, I've never
everybody
known.
Everybody say, and wonderful.
And wonderful.
Wonderful. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Don't know about you, but I've got a made up mind to serve the Lord.
Oh, yes.
For the rest of my life.
Hallelujah.
For I owe him my life. The Bible says that it's reasonable that we serve him, the one who gave us life, and then turn around and saved our lives. So it's only reasonable that we serve him. Hallelujah. So I love the Lord today, and I have a determination to serve him. The Lord is our strength. We've learned to lean and depend on him. Sister Trudy, I like the way my granny used to say it. She would say, he's my all in all, and no other help I know. I don't know no other help. I don't know anybody else to lean and depend on but the Lord, because he is our strength. Hey, y'all, this is a new song. We've never done it before, but it's real easy, and when you catch it, I want you to sing it with us. Just sing this chorus with us. It says, you are my strength. I praise your name forever because you are my strength. Hallelujah. Say you are.
You are.
Point to yourself and say, my strength.
My strength.
I praise your name.
I praise your name.
Say forever. Let's say it again. Y'all got it yet? Say, you
are.
Make it personal. My strength.
My strength.
No other help I know you are.
You are.
My strength.
My strength.
I'll praise your name.
I'll praise.
How long?
Forever.
Come on, tell the Lord, say, you are.
You are.
You are my strength.
My strength.
Come on, let's take it up and say that same chorus. Say, you are.
You are.
Hallelujah. My strength.
My strength.
Hey, if he is your strength today, why don't you sing it with us?
You are.
Come on and say, my strength.
My strength.
Say, I'll praise your name. Not just now, but how long? Everybody say forever.
Forever.
'Cause God, you are, oh yeah. My strength,
my
strength. Let's take it up again. I believe y'all know it by now. Say, you are.
You are.
Say, my strength. Come on, everybody, declare
you are
my strength,
my strength.
Let's say, I'll praise your name.
I'll praise your name.
Forever.
Forever.
'Cause you are. Say, my strength.
My strength.
'Cause you are. You're my strength.
My strength.
No other help I know.
You are.
I've learned how to lean and depend on you, Jesus. For you are my. You are my firm foundation. I'm leaning and depending on you. I'm leaning and depending on you. I'm leaning and depending on you, Lord. 'cause you are my strength. If you move, I'll fall, because I'm standing on you, Jesus. If you move, I'll fall, because no other help, no other help, no other help I know. Oh, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are, you are my strength, yeah. Come on, everybody, say, my strength. Let's worship him. If you know the Lord is the strength of your life, you ought to worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I praise your name. Say, my strength. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord.
Whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself. Holy God. To show you ready mind of, I'm getting excited, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift, which is administered by us, providing, oh my goodness, honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Let us pray. Almighty and wise God, it is once born again a few of your children are calling upon their name. We thank you for the songs of Zion, for stirring up those spirits within which you have placed inside of us. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us thus far. And Heavenly Father, as we sat here and think about what you've already done, this is Thanksgiving week, but you know, each day is a day of Thanksgiving, because when we think about all that you have done, we can't hardly control ourselves. So Heavenly Father, use us. Let us be your light. Let us be your beacon. So when people see us, they see you. Now Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the word that the pastor is going to give us today. I know you have anointed pressed down and going to bless us with a mighty word. Because Heavenly Father, I heard some of my students this morning, this week, tell me, Brother Dwight, is there a word from the Lord? I miss going to church. I try to explain to them how when you wake up every morning that you're saying hello and that I love you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you go forth, spread your word. Make it simple, Heavenly Father, because all it is, this one simple word, I must believe that you died for me. So Heavenly Father, when we sit back after hearing this message today, let us keep it simple and say, I believe, I'm willing and able to do your work. Send us, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To God be the glory for the things he has done. I don't know if we said it yet, but welcome to the live broadcast this morning of the Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Evansville, Indiana, where our pastor is Reverend Larry A. Rasko, Sr., place where we believe in connecting people to Christ, to church, to their calling, and even to the community. And I tell you, the presence of the Lord is in this place today. And we can feel him moving by his spirit, moving by his power. And we are so thankful to God for
even this opportunity to come together and worship. Hey, wherever you are today, won't you like and share and invite somebody else to watch? Let's get people. I believe that there's a word from the Lord today, and you don't wanna miss being blessed by the word of God. Amen. So call somebody, text somebody, share this live stream with somebody, like it, love it, send some hearts, and let's get some more people connected so that the word of God will go even further. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning we're gonna sing a song of the church. Song says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Because Ed, all other ground ain't nothing but sinking sand. And so we've decided to build our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, can you come and help us with this song this morning? You can just sing that one verse. Yeah. "When he shall come." And after we sing this song, we'll hear from our pastor as he comes to share the word of God with us. Amen.
Built
on nothing less. Nothing less. Than Jesus' blood. His precious blood. And his righteousness. I dare not trust. The sweetest frame.
The sweetest frame.
But wholly lean. I'm gonna wholly lean. On Jesus' name. He shall come. One day he's coming. When the trumpet sound. When that trumpet sound. Oh, may I then. Oh, may I then. In him be found, dressed in his righteousness, in his righteousness, his righteousness alone. Gotta stand for this before the throne. On Christ, he's the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock. On that rock I stand. Yeah. right there. Sinking sand. It's sinking sand. It's sinking sand. Stand on his word. Stand on his promise. Stand on the truth. My salvation is based on him. It's sinking. Everything else is sinking. Everything else is sinking. It's sinking. It's sinking sand. It's sinking sand. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Happy Him. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ed. He's good. Now, let's thank God for our psalmist today. Appreciate all of y'all. Well, again, join me at 2 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 8. Dwight read for us what he could. See, some of y'all, I know what y'all are thinking. Why can't he get through the scripture and the prayer without shouting Sunday? If you only knew his testimony, you would understand. Call him sometime. He'll tell you it's gonna take a minute because he's gonna shout all the way through it, but if you only knew what he's been and going through. Somebody said you'd be joining him and shouting too. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want to read just a few verses beginning at the 16th verse. Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carried the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. Amen. I want to talk about the right stuff. The right stuff. It was in 1983 that a movie was made from a book called The Right Stuff. It was a movie depicting some test pilots from the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. It depicted the time where the United States had started NASA, and NASA was planning to launch some individuals into space. The movie depicts how NASA was stumbling. They really didn't know how to build a program. They didn't know what a space program looked like, let alone how to choose a person for the space program. But in all transparency, they showed that sometimes you gotta start even when you don't have all the answers. Sometimes you gotta walk and chew gum even at the same time. That's a quote from my beloved brother Muhammad. He said, sometimes you can't wait till you got it all together. Sometimes you gotta take what you have, start where you are, and do what you can. And the movie is depicted and name the right stuff, because after they went through what they went through, eventually they discovered and they claimed, they said this about those men that were, those first men that were chosen. They've got the right stuff. They've got what it takes to go to another level and to serve at a higher level. They called it the right stuff. Here we are in 2020. Just last week, the first African-American man by the name of Victor Glover, he's a test pilot. Victor Glover is a test pilot, he's a commander, and he was on that ship that flew to the International Space Station. He's down in history because he's going to be the first African-American astronaut to stay and serve at the International Station. They're expecting him to be there for about up to 6 months. And he is there because it was deemed that he had the right stuff. They put this responsibility, they're entrusting him to work, to serve, to carry out, to be responsible, to be a good steward over everything that's entrusted in him, because they said and saw in his character that he had the right stuff. In a real sense, what I want to share with you today as I close out chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, you need to know that when you spend a whole lot of time making an appeal for people to give, you need to know that the people who give expects accountability. Asking for money is one thing. Being responsible with the money that people give is something else. They both got to go together. A strong appeal is also tied to the person who's making the appeal. I'm blessed beyond measure, because there has not been a time in the life of this ministry, or at least in the time that I've served, where the people of the Nazarene Church has not responded graciously and kindly when there was a need and when there was an appeal made. And I chalk that up to the fact that sometimes, and even I asked this of a beloved philanthropist who is a dear friend of mine, I asked him one day, I said, how do you decide? You give away hundreds of thousands of dollars all the time. How do you decide who to give to? He said, the first criteria, it's based upon the character of the one who's doing the asking. Makes all the sense in the world. Accountability goes with the appeal. I want to lift up with you to you today at least three individuals in this text, and I want to share with you why I believe and what the scriptures reveal to help you understand how they have the right stuff. The first one I want to lift up, of course, is the Apostle Paul. Here's the marvelous thing about Paul. Paul is a person who is in this event. Paul is the one who is casting the vision. Paul is the one who's carrying and presenting the vision. Paul is the one that understands. He was able to see what God sees. Henry Blackaby, you've heard me talk about this book all the time. God is always working. And God, through his children, he's looking for people who will join him in the work. And as you walk around and as you do what you do and do ministry, every now and then, God, through the unction of the Holy Ghost, will tap you on your shoulder and point to something to see if you see what he sees. When God sees people that are hungry, he wants to know, do you see what I see? When God sees people that are serving alongside people that are sick and people that are hungry and people that are tired, God wants to know, do you see what I see? And Paul saw what God saw. Paul saw the mother church, how the people were suffering, how the people were under oppression, how the people were being left out, how the people were stressed out. And Paul saw what God saw. And then the second thing, not only did he see what God saw, but the other thing that Paul did, Paul understood the clarity of trying to figure out how can the children of God connect to and with what God is doing. In other words, God points it out, but then God points it out because he wants to know what you're going to do about it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it, but he wants to know, do you see what I see, and are you willing to join me in bringing a difference in this circumstance or situation? You remember he used a burning bush one day and then told Moses that he saw what was going on in Egypt. Do you see what I see? Moses said, yeah, I've been there. I've seen it. But then everything changed because then God said, I'm going to deliver them. But when he said, I'm going to deliver them, and then told Moses, and by the way, I'm going to make you the point guard as you go down there to deliver them. Moses spent a whole chapter trying to talk God out of using him to go do what God's gonna do. God's gonna do what he's gonna do. He's just looking for somebody that's willing to join him in doing what he gonna do, what he gonna do. Paul understood the vision. Paul saw what God wanted done, and Paul understood how to connect the people, how to connect the children, how to connect the children to help them see what God sees. And y'all, sometimes it takes a minute. Not everybody catches the vision right away. Not everybody can see what the preacher, pastor, what the visionary sees. And every pastor, let me share with you, every leader, let me share with you, everybody's not looking through your glasses. You got to be patient sometime. Sometimes you got to be patient. You got to wait on folk because they don't see it now don't mean they won't see it after a while. Sometimes you got to wait on them. Sometimes you got to pray with them. But it doesn't necessarily mean you wait to start the vision. Sometimes you got to go on and do what God's calling you to do. You got to lay the groundwork and just wait on people to see. Because every now and then, you heard about that dude named Johnny, don't you? You heard about him, the Johnny come lately kind of guy. Don't be mad at him, because at least Johnny came. He came late. But at least we thank God that he did show up, because some folk didn't come at all. And here's what Paul understood. Paul saw what God saw. Paul saw a way to connect the children to work that work that God revealed to him. And then Paul understood that even though we got the children, he understood, I can't do this by myself. And here's what you need to know, that every now and then, God's going to do something that you'll know right off the bat, I can't do this by myself. And that's okay, because in Scripture, over and over, there were people that got in a situation where they realized they couldn't do it by themselves. God does it on purpose to help you know there's some stuff you can't do by yourself. You remember when Peter, Jesus said, throw that net on the other side of the boat, and it wasn't long that the net was so full that it was about to break. And what happened? Peter said, I need some help. You remember in Luke chapter 5, verse 18, there was four friends who had a friend who was paralyzed, and they heard Jesus was in town. Jesus is in town, but they couldn't get Jesus to the friend, so they decided to get the friend to Jesus, but they couldn't do it by themselves. They needed some help. And when you read the story, it says they came, each one of them, on each corner of the cot. And when they got there, not only could they not forget getting through the door, they couldn't even get to the door, but they didn't stop. They got some help, took him up on the roof, because they were determined to get their friend in the presence of Jesus because they believe that Jesus could make, they believe that Jesus had the stuff to get, help their friend, help his life become better, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it by themselves. I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said, show me. Show me where you laid him. And then when he got to the cemetery, he asked for some help. Y'all rolled a stone away. Here's what I love about it. You do what you can do, and God will do what you... Because you're going to need some help to do many of the things that God is calling you to do. Paul had the right stuff because he saw the vision. Paul had the right stuff because he knew how, he saw how he could connect the children to the vision. And Paul understood with all humility, I can't do this. I'm going to need some help. Let's talk about Titus. Let's talk about Titus in the 16th verse. It says, thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus. I'm here to tell you today that Titus, he had the right stuff. First thing I know he's had the right stuff is because he received what God put in his heart. When you read that text, you ought to read it in a couple of different versions. In one version, the NIV version, Paul says, Titus, he's concerned, he has the same concern for the people that I do. If whatever you're going to do, if you're going to have somebody that's going to share in a leadership role, you better make sure that they see what you see and they have the willingness, that they have the same concern for the people that you do. John threw Judas under the bus. John told it when that woman came in and broke that alabaster of Chanel number 5 and poured it all over Jesus. Judas almost said, Judas got upset. And Judas said, that could have been used. We could have put that on Facebook Marketplace and could have sold that and had enough money to feed the poor. And John said, he's a lie. He wasn't concerned about the poor. He was only concerned about what he could get his hands on because he's the one who kept the bag. John told on him. Even Jesus had somebody that did not necessarily see what he saw. And you gotta be careful because Satan will come after you and will try to make you put your needs above the people's needs. But I love this text because it says, in the NIV version, it says that Titus, he cared about the people. Paul's talking, he's the narrator. Paul said, he's concerned about the people like I am. But then I like the King James Version. The King James Version begins verse 16 with a but. And you know that when you read a text that begins with a but, then you know that but means there's a transition. And so when you go back to the previous verses, Paul just illustrated, he made a reference to Exodus 16:16. In Exodus 16:16, Paul made reference to the fact he was explaining to the people that God will provide. He'll provide what you need. And he makes a reference to Exodus 16:16, when God had the whole children of Israel out in the wilderness. There wasn't no Costco's, wasn't no Sam's, wasn't no Snooks, wasn't nothing nearby. But God fed them quail, and then he fed them manna. But he had a stipulation with this. And in Exodus chapter 16:16, God told them, here's what you do. You go out and gather an omer. An omer was a measurement. Here's what an omer looked like. An omer is translated in our modern day. An omer is 2 liters. It's like a 2-liter bottle. He said, here's what you do. Get an omer for everybody in your family. Junior, you get one. Me and Trudy, we get 2. Ed, you get 2. Tracy, you get 1, 2, 3 and a half. In a few more days, you'll get another 4. And when you get 1 omer for each person, there's always enough. On the 6th day, you double it up because you're not going to go out there on the 7th day because he ain't going to send it. But it's always enough. The picture that Paul was illustrating is that God will meet your need. And here's the translation. He says in verse 15, God is in the business of meeting your needs. And in the same way Titus has concern for the people, he's interested in meeting their needs. That's why I love him. That's why I know he's got the right stuff, because just like God wants to meet your needs, Titus is interested in meeting your needs. Not only does he have the right heart, he's got the right attitude. He's got the right attitude. Listen to what Paul says about him. He's got the right heart, but he's coming to you with enthusiasm. Accepting an assignment is one thing, but being enthusiastic about it, it is another. I'm gonna take my time and walk through this, cause you need to know that just cause somebody says I'll help don't necessarily mean they're gonna be good help. Just cause they show up don't mean they're gonna show up with the right. Have you ever, back in the day when we used to be able to get together for Thanksgiving, anybody ever showed up, but when they showed up, they had such a, bleep this, funky attitude that you wish they hadn't came at all. And here's what I love about Titus. Titus showed up with a great attitude. And he was enthusiastic. Matter of fact, in the King James Version, Paul said he accepted this exhortation. Hey, Trudy, that word exhortation in that particular text is the word paraklesis. It means to come alongside. That's a great picture of what Titus did with Paul. He came along, came alongside. As a support, he came alongside. He didn't get in front. He came alongside with a great attitude. Paul said, I'm sending Titus to you. Because he's concerned about you just like I am. He understands meeting God's needs, meeting the people's needs just like I do. He's enthusiastic. He's self-motivated. Nobody has to twist his arm. He's a get-her-done kind of guy. I'm sending him because he has the right stuff. But then Paul says, and as another guy I'm sending, watch this, the brother. I'm sending the brother. Junior, he didn't give his name. He didn't say who his mama name was. I looked high and low trying to figure out who he was. He was simply known as the brother. I'm sending, let me tell you who else is on the team. I'm sending the brother. And I can tell you right now, he's got the right stuff because he's on the team and he ain't quitting when his name ain't called.
Is this on? Some people struggle. Some people struggle. Some people struggle because they want recognition. But sometimes, y'all, you gotta serve when nobody but God is recognizing you. And can I give you something for free? I'll give this to you. Okay, Keyshawn, because the truth is, God seeing is really the only one that matters. God is the one that can break you off a blessing that you didn't have. God is the one who can make a way out of no. God is the one who can pick you up and give you another chance. His name ain't even, they didn't even take time to write his name. They called him the brother. But let me tell you what they said about the brother. We got him on the team because he's passionate about the gospel. The people praise him as the one who preaches. Everywhere he go, he bringing good news. All the churches knowing because he's the one that is always bringing good news. You got to have somebody that's passionate about getting people meeting their needs physically, but then you also need to have somebody who's passionate about meeting people's needs spiritually. Putting food in your belly is one thing, getting your soul into heaven is another. Have I got a witness here? And Paul said in Romans chapter 10, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Yes, I want them to have a house, but I want them to be saved. Yes, I'd like them to have a strong family, but I want them to be saved. I'd like them to have justice rolling down like mercy and righteousness like a mighty stream. But what I really want, what I prefer, is that they be saved. He's known as the preacher who's passionate about sharing and bringing good news. Look at it. And we're sending along with him the brother who's praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What more? Not only is he passionate about the gospel, but he's appreciated by the people. God tonight. People appreciate what he does. People value the word of God. People value good news. And y'all, we living in a day where we need some good news. We got a president that might have to be ushered. We need some good news. We got somebody who's more concerned about getting a recount for an election that's already over than he is people that are dying by thousands every day. We need some good news. We need to know while folk are losing their jobs and while money's running out, we need some good news. Children are coming home again, and somebody gonna need some good news. Cars are being repossessed. Houses are being foreclosed. We need some good news. Restaurants are closing. Business are closing. We need some good news. But the people of God, I thank God for this brother, because no matter what you're facing, there is some good news. You might lose your house. You might have to move back home. But there is some good news. Because at least you got a home to go back to. Yeah. You wasn't promised. rolling on 24s forever, but at least you got two good feet. He preached good news. Hey, people are dying every day, but I still got some good news. One day, somebody's gonna call Ross and tell him to pick up some old clothes. But when he comes by and pick up the clothes, I'll be absent from this body, present with the Lord. Ain't that good news? And the best news is God is still in charge. Come what may, the God I serve, he's still in charge. God is still on the throne. And deep in our bosom, he's given us a phone. When you walk, when you walk, you're not walking by yourself. Just remember, God is, he's still on the throne. These folks got the right stuff. The brother, he's got the right stuff. Titus has the right stuff. Paul has the right stuff. And they've got the right stuff because God has the right stuff. And when you accept Jesus, won't he give you the right stuff? Won't he give you a word? Won't he give you the Holy Ghost? You have the right stuff, everything you need to get through this thing, because we serve a God. We serve a God. He's in the business of providing the right stuff. When I was lost in sin, he provided the right stuff, gave me a Savior, died on the cross, rose on Sunday. He's the right stuff, ascended to the Father, sent down the Holy Ghost in my heart. He's the right stuff. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. I thank God he has, he gives the right stuff. Won't he give you what you need? Trust and never doubt. He will surely bring you out. Because in Jesus Christ, we got the right stuff. We got the right stuff. In Jesus, everything we need, he provides the right stuff. Somebody looking at me right now, I know what you're thinking. I don't know if I feel it like you feel it. Well, it ain't about how you feel. You can't base this on how you feel. You've got to stand on what God says. And God says that he loved the world so much that he gave his only son to die for your sins and mine. And whoever believes on him won't perish, but will have everlasting life. The people of God, we celebrate because we have the confidence from the Word of God. And you too, you can become a part of the family of God. If you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, why don't you repeat this prayer? Father, I admit that I've sinned. Without you, I'm lost. But I believe that you sent your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. And I open my heart right now, ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, here's the great news. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. You can start a relationship with the Lord today, but it'll last a lifetime. Want to encourage you, get online, let us know that you connected with the family. We thank God for you. We want to connect and share with you and show you how you can grow in His grace and in His knowledge. Today, family, I want to share with you, it's time for the offering. We always say, praise the Lord. And I want to say thank you. Many of you, you have been so faithful. Somebody said, you know, I forgot all about it, but I ain't spent it, and I sent it on. Thank you for your faithfulness. You can give through Givelify, through PayPal. You can mail it here to the church, 867 East Walnut Street. You can mail it here. We'll get it. And we're working. It's the off season, but y'all, we are working diligently. When you do get back, you're gonna see some stuff. You're gonna see what we have been doing. Paul said, I'm not afraid of accountability. With every appeal, there also comes accountability. Paul said, I'm determined to do what's right in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. And so you need to know that you can trust your pastor, you can trust the leadership of this family to be good stewards of what you have given. So we thank you for your faithfulness. I want to lift up today a few names in prayer, and if you have some prayer requests, please type it in. Type in your prayer request. We'll get it. Type in your prayer request. I do want to ask that you please remember Sister Rolanda Johnson. She's going to be having some chemo, and I want to ask that you please remember Rolanda. I lift up today Sister Marion Haskins and the Sanders family. Please remember them. Remember them in prayer. God's continuing to bless and sustain Brother John Bush. We lift up Deacon Cheney. Y'all type those in. We'll get them, and we'll pray for them all. I want you to remember Leandre Petrie. Please remember him and pray for his mama and his family. He's home now, but he's got a lot of physical therapy and things that he's going through, and so pray for that family. And we're going to be a blessing to that family, and we're going to come alongside, and we're going to do something to help and help them in their time of need. Please remember my mama. Pray for my mama and daddy. Pray for them. They're getting older, and they're facing some health challenges, but God is still good. God is still good. And for that, we are so grateful. You'll also see on the screen, I want to Zoom with you. I wish I could say it like, I want to Zoom with you. Yeah, on Thursday, we're going to Zoom together. I've got the time down at 9 o'clock, and y'all, let's Zoom together. And Jerry has put it on, and he'll put it on the webpage as well. And I'm looking forward, since I might be sitting on a green egg, but either way, we're going to Zoom and have a good time. Just want to say hello and see your face, and express my thanks for you and your faithfulness. Junior, anything else? Am I missing anything else? All right, let me close in prayer. I'm going to thank God for the offering. Thank you for your faithfulness, and then I'm going to bless you as well. Father, for these gifts, we say thank you. We've made the appeal and asked that individuals would extend a grace gift over and beyond their tithes. Because we want to be a blessing to some folk. There's some people that aren't as fortunate. There's some people that are going through. And God, I pray that you would bless us to see what you see, that they don't have to stand alone, that they don't have to suffer, but we can come alongside. We're going to do what we can do, and God, we're going to trust you to do what we can't. Have mercy on the names that were called, the names that were typed. We have family members, oh God, they need your strength. They solicit the prayers of the saints. And God, we pray that you would show us how we can be a blessing to your beloved people. Thank you that you're God, you're in control. We love you, we praise you. We find no fault in you. We're excited about the opportunities to love your people even in the midst of this pandemic. And we're trusting you to use us. Oh, how sweet it is to be in your hands and to be an instrument to make a difference in the lives of others. For that we say thank you. For all of the families that have viewed and will view, may this, oh God, they blessed us, and may this be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Love you, family, love you. God bless you, God bless you.